It was me. It was your pop.
Yes, I know.
Welcome, members. We do have a quorum. I will call this meeting to order. I will begin with reading the committee procedures. Welcome to the Minnesota House of Representatives. We appreciate your interest and participation in the legislative process. To ensure everyone can view, hear, and understand today's proceedings, we ask for your cooperation in maintaining decorum and civility throughout this hearing. For the safety, security, and comfort of all attendees, please note the following guidelines. I, the committee chair, maintain control of these proceedings and establish the following expectations. Signs and placards are not permitted in the hearing room. Verbal outbursts, shouting, or disruptive behavior will not be tolerated. Applause or other audible demonstrations are not allowed. For safety reasons, standing or sitting in walkways and aisles or standing or obstructing at your chair is prohibited. If you require any accommodation, please speak with our sergeant staff identified by gold ties. Troopers and house security personnel are present to ensure everyone's safety. Those providing testimony will be given specific time limits, which must be strictly observed. If you receive an entrance ticket, please retain it as it may be required for reentry if you leave the hearing room. Failure to comply with these guidelines may result in the removal from the hearing room. Our goal is to conduct these proceedings efficiently while ensuring everyone the opportunity to observe and participate appropriately. The chair will now outline specific procedure for today's hearings, include the order of testimony and any additional requirements unique to this proceeding. Thank you for your cooperation and participation in the legislative process. Never run that thing in Mr. Co-Chair, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I have read the minutes and I recommend their approval.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Any members have any discussions for the minutes? Members, with no discussion, I will move that we approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved. Members, we have five items on the agenda for today. Our first item will be House File 3475. We have our first item will be House File 3475. Representative Hansen, since you're not a member, I will move that we place this item on the General Register after the conclusion of the discussion. Mr. Hansen, please describe your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and smiling faces on the committee. House File 3475 relates to two agricultural councils or commissions. One is called the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, or AURI, and the other is MAELC, Minnesota Agricultural Education Leadership Council. Several years ago, we increased the opportunity for citizen members in the environmental commissions to increase their per diem to try to encourage more participation from citizens applying for these boards. And the last time and the only time that these per diems were set was about 1990, and they were set at $55. There's been a lot of change in the world. What this bill does in terms of its fiscal impact, it doesn't go into effect until the next fiscal year. It only applies to the citizen members, not the legislative members. So this is not legislative members raising their own per diem. It's only the citizen members. And it's an up to 125, so that would make it equivalent to the LCCMR and some of the other environmental groups. And those boards and commissions would have to vote on what that their per diem would be. So if they vote to keep it at 55, it'll be 55. They have to make that decision. But it's, again, only the citizen members, goes into effect. Probably we have a de minimis fiscal impact of $2,000 or $3,000, and that would come out of their existing budget rather than a new appropriation. I'd ask for your support.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Members, any questions? Seeing no questions, I will renew my motion that House File 3475 be recommended for placement on the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
No.
Motion passed. Thank you, Chair Hansen. You're on your way. Up next, members, we have Representative Nelson, please come forward. We have Senate File 3832 before us. Now, members, you will recall we heard the House version of this bill in a recent committee hearing. We will now be bringing up the Senate File 3832 that has passed the Senate. The House has given it a first reading and referred it to this committee. This bill is a companion to House File 3508, which we will lay aside. I will move the Senate File 3832 be referred to the General Register. Rep. Nelson, if you would like to provide any comments, please do so, understanding we have had full discussion about this bill.
So thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I think it was about 2 weeks ago we were in here, had a full discussion on it. If you would like, I can repeat all of it. Otherwise, we could, if you have any questions, we could just go for a vote. And anybody that represents former Schwann's Ice Cream isn't, I guess we can let them ask questions.
Chair Skorzeny.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nelson, is there anything about FFA in the bill? And then are there any future farmers from your family in the audience today?
Rep. Nelson.
This is not directly with FSA, but the Farm Service Agency, but it is part of the dairy margin coverage, which is, if I'm correct on it, is part of an FSA the federal program, and so this is Minnesota just reinsuring part of that. So although Commissioner Peterson is looking at me kind of strangely, so maybe I'm answering it. What's that? Did I say FFA?
Commissioner, would you like to approach?
So
Mr. Chair, I said FFA.
Okay. I thought you said FSA, Farm Service Agency.
Representative Nelson.
All right, sorry.
I withdraw my question.
All right. It's a little late. I get it. We're a little giddy. Chair Skorzeny withdraws his question. Any further questions, members? Chair Claiborne.
Thank you. I would like to restate the question.
Go ahead, Chair Claiborne.
Representative Nelson, I believe that there's a future generational farmer in the room. And the question is, would you like to speak about that future generational farmer that is in the room, if that makes sense? Thank you.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Claiborne, for that question, for the clarification of it. Yes, I do have a future generation with me. I don't know if he's got his cowboy hat on right now. Zeb is with me today.
And Chair, Representative Nelson, why don't you bring him up to the podium?
Zeb, why don't you come on up here?
Awesome. Don't forget your hat.
No, you got to wear the hat.
There we go. That's what we need up there.
That's just dressed up.
I'm dressed up. I'm ready to go.
You got what you wanted, sweetie.
I did.
Harley, this is your photo. Then,
go ahead, Representative Nelson.
Maybe if you want to introduce yourself.
What's your name?
Say your name. Zebediah. This is my son, Zebediah. He is in fifth grade, and he is skipping class today, so taking an extended Easter break. So.
Very good. Thank you for bringing him up. We may clap. Chair Casizo-Witton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to say thank you to Representative Nelson for bringing this bill forward from the other body after our discussion a couple weeks ago, and want to say thanks for Zeb as a future farmer and an equally consummate host of my family, and including my daughter who's also here today when we visited the farm a couple of times. So thank you so much.
Very good. Representative Nelson, members, any other questions? Representative Nelson, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for hearing this, and it is important that we get this bill passed and onto the General Register and signed by the governor. The sign up for this is actually closing in 2 days, so this is something that I would have loved to have this done probably about the third week of session, but I think the Department of Agriculture is going to try to be as flexible as they can on getting these funds out to the dairy farmers that are going to be applying for. I think they've already applied, in fact, but we're just kind of waiting for our approval on it. So With that, I would just encourage support and thank you for hearing it today.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Hearing no further discussion, I will renew my motion that Senate File 3832 be recommended for placement on the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion prevails, and Senate File 3832 is recommended for placement on the General Register. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next up is House File 3917. Mm-hmm. Representative Mahmoud, please come up. Representative Mahmoud, I will move that House File 3917 be recommended for placement on the General Register. Representative Mahmoud, to your bill.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. House File 3917 is a simple bill that will make a significant impact in getting medications to low-income Minnesotans. This bill will help the repository, which we have Dr. Mann, who will come up and testify in a bit, explain more about the repository, operate more effectively and efficiently by reducing unnecessary record-keeping and expanding its business model, allowing it to serve more Minnesotans in need of medication. Current requirements requires that the organization must keep records of all drugs received, even those the repository does not accept. By removing the requirement for the drugs to be so that it's only when it's accepted, that is when it has to be recorded, we will be able to free up staff time and resources so that we can distribute more usable medications to Minnesotans. This bill will free up $250,000 that was already appropriated so that the repository can expand its operation and provide needed medication to more Minnesotans. And with that, I'd like to call up the testifier.
Testifier, please come to the table. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, chairs and members of the committee. My name is Dr. Rowan Mann. And I'm here to testify today about House File 3917. I am a pharmacist and I lead the Minnesota Medication Repository Program known as Roundtable Rx. Before I go into the legislation, I want to just give a brief background and impact of Roundtable Rx. It is estimated that Minnesotans destroy approximately $16 million worth of unusable medications every year from long-term care facilities alone. These medications are often prepackaged in tamper-evident bubble packs, but when therapy changes, such as a dose adjustment, discontinuations, or hospitalizations, those medications, while unexpired and still very safe, are required to be destroyed. At the same time, many Minnesotans are struggling to afford the medications that they need. The repository works to address both of these problems. Roundtable Rx is able to accept these medications that would have been thrown away and have them undergo safety checks by a licensed pharmacist, and then we're able to redistribute them to individuals in need. The program operates under contract and oversight of the Minnesota Board of Pharmacy. The way we are able to get out these medications to people in need is through partnerships with pharmacies and clinics that serve the underserved populations. We currently have dispensing partners in 26 Minnesota counties. Of those 26 counties, 20 of them are rural. To date, we have served thousands of Minnesotans and redistributed millions of dollars in medications. We have kept over 5 million doses out of the landfills and water streams. In this fiscal year, the program is operating at approximately a 4-to-1 return, so meaning every dollar that has been invested into Roundtable Rx this fiscal year, we've been able to distribute over $4 worth of medications to individuals who just would not have received their care anyway. Mm. Otherwise, and I'm here today for two practical requests. First, a technical administration clarification. Current language requires full destruction documentation, even for medications that were never accepted into inventory. We were requesting this clarification, so destruction records apply only to medications formally accepted into this program. It reduces administrative burden, paperwork, and does not change the safety or oversight. Importantly, I have reviewed this clarification with the Minnesota Board of Pharmacy, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and Hennepin County. These are the three agencies that control pharmaceutical waste in Minnesota, and there are no compliance concerns from those regulatory partners. Secondly, and the reason we're in this committee, are we are requesting flexibility to use funds that have already been appropriated to us to support operational costs necessary to fully deliver medications to patients, specifically cost associated with operating a compliant home delivery pharmacy model. This would improve access for rural and mobility-limited patients, increasing efficiency of statewide distribution, and support Minnesota pharmacy operations, using resources the legislature has already provided. This is about responsible stewardship, reducing waste, removing unnecessary red tape, and making full use of resources already in the system. Thank you for letting me testify, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Doctor, thank you for your testimony. Members, any questions? Co-Chair Torkelson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious, are there any fiscal circumstances to this bill?
No.
Representative Atmalu.
No, other than the fact that we are freeing up money that was already appropriated a few years ago.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Mahmoud, for bringing the bill forward. This is a really good project that we need to keep working on here in Minnesota. So thanks for your work on it. Dr. Mann, I just had a question on what's the volume of dollars of pharmaceuticals that you have sent out in the last year?
Doctor.
In the last year, we sent out 1.8 million in 2025.
Can you follow, Chair Bierman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you mentioned at the start 16 million of potential pharmaceuticals that go into waste stream. So we have a lot of work to do out there still. And I appreciate the way you've been working with this entity over the last few years, and keep up your good work, and hopefully we can get more of that taken into the stream and expand it across the state to all 87 counties. Thank you.
Chair Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe to the doctor, question for you. Are you seeing a lot of Schedule 2 and 3 drugs return to this, and is it challenging to handle those type of more dangerous kind of drugs? So what is that like? I just want to kind of hear you talk about handling the Schedule 2 and 3 drugs.
Doctor, go ahead.
That is a great question. Actually, the repository does not accept any controlled substances. We only accept, so no controlled substances. I always describe us as a very boring pharmacy. It's the chronic medications that we predominantly send out, but a few oncology, and that's been really growing lately.
Any follow-up, Chair Baker?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thanks. And again, I appreciate that because I do know the dangers of those, but if they are still controlled and there's dollars to be able to recoup and they're prepackaged and they're under good scrutiny of how it's handled, do you see a future where that might be something we look at or not?
Doctor.
Yes, thank you. We could definitely look into that. I will say there are many states that have these repository laws, and I don't know any that have been able to get their boards of pharmacies to say that you can add that additional step into controls. Yeah. With the DEA regulations, it's very intense. So I don't know if I could get the board of pharmacy to sign off on that.
Chair Baker, any follow-up?
Mr. Chair, that was the answer I was kind of looking for. Thank you. Thanks.
Very well. Any further questions? Rep. Mahmoud, you closing?
Yeah, this is a great program. I do hope you guys support this bill.
All right. With no further questions, I will renew my motion that House File 3917 be recommended for placement on the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails, and House File 3917 is recommended for placement on the General Register. Good job. Chair Claiborne, do you want to make your way to the table? Up next is House File 3404. I will move that House File 3404 be recommended for placement on the General Register. Chair Claiborne, when you're ready, please tell us about your bill.
Thank you very much, Chair Frazier. This is an important bill, and it has to do with impersonating a police officer. And while we all know the events of June 14th, I'm not really going to speak about those events tonight. I'm just going to talk about what the bill does, and then I'll talk about the support that we have for the bill. I would like to just take a moment to thank my colleagues, both Republicans and Democrats, who worked for a long time over the interim to make sure that this bill was in good shape. And I would also like to thank the chiefs of police, the Sheriff's Association, and the Minnesota peace officers for their support of the legislation. So in subdivision one of the bill, the base level offense of impersonating an officer with intent to mislead has been enhanced from a misdemeanor to a 2-year felony. In subdivision two of the bill, you will see aggravated offenses, which means impersonating an officer with intent to mislead while also committing gaining unauthorized access to a building, giving unlawful orders, or driving a vehicle made to resemble a legitimate law enforcement vehicle. That goes from a gross misdemeanor to a five-year felony. Also in subdivision two, you will see prohibitions on vehicle markings so that a reasonable person could not mistake an automobile for a law enforcement vehicle. In subdivision three, the bill creates an aggravated offense for impersonating police officer while in possession of a firearm, which is something that was not in the statute before. And this new offense is a 10-year felony. And the same would be an enhanced penalty for people who are repeat offenders. In subdivision four of the bill, you will see a sentencing scheme for situations where someone commits a more serious offense while impersonating an officer. And this is to ensure that a defendant would face consequences for both impersonating an officer in addition to the more serious underlying crime. In subdivision five, you will see that the bill creates a duty to identify for law enforcement officers in Minnesota. It establishes that all law enforcement officers in Minnesota must identify their last name, the agency that employs them, and their identification number. And it also has protections for people who are serving as undercover officers so that their identity would not be exposed. There's a minimum fiscal impact for the bill. It's estimated that the bill will cost $13,000 in fiscal year 2028 and $21,000 for fiscal year 2029. And I don't know if they're in your packets because I don't have the packet in front of me, but the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, the Minnesota Chiefs, and the Minnesota Sheriffs have said Minnesotans expect and deserve absolute confidence that when an individual presents themselves visually or verbally as a police officer, that that person is duly licensed as a Minnesota peace officer. And they also go on to say that the Minnesota officers were deeply troubled when individuals disguise as police. And such a deception not only facilitates violence, but also struck at the heart of the public's trust. And so for these reasons, I ask for your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Claiborne. Any discussions, members? Chair Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank Representative Claiborne for her hard work on this. She worked throughout the interim on it, met with numerous stakeholders, took a lot of feedback along the way, worked across the aisle. Appreciate Co-Chair Novotny's support of this as well in the Public Safety Committee. And again, just want to just express my appreciation for working on this topic that hits close to home for us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Chair Claiborne, members, any other questions or comments? Chair Claiborne, in closing.
Thank you. I would just like to thank Chair Novotny, Representative Steer, Representative Whitney, Representative Hewitt, Representative Johnson, Chair Mueller. Without you, this would not have been possible. And for the staff, I just can't say enough about our staff and the incredible work and the incredible knowledge base of Ben Johnson. Thank you. Ask for a green vote.
Thank you, Chair. With no further conversation, I will renew my motion and House File 3404 be recommended for placement on the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you,
Chair. Representative Jacob, please. Up next is House File 3593. I will move that House File 3593 be recommended for placement on the General Register. Representative Jacob, to your bill, please.
Well, thank you, Chair Frazier, members of the committee, for hearing my House File 3593 this evening. And for the record, Steve Jacob, District 20B. House File 3593 would simply designate the southernmost 1.4 miles of Highway 58 through the city of Zumbrota, essentially the main street of Zumbrota, as officer/firefighter Gary Schroeder Jr. Memorial Highway. And a couple of things to note is that there's a request for this and a letter of support from the city of Zumbrota that's signed by both the mayor of Zumbrota, Todd Hamill, and also the city administrator, Brian Grudem. Also, I'd note that we are not requesting any taxpayer funds for this. This will cost approximately $4,000, and I talked to the applicant that I would not request taxpayer funding for it, and they let me know that they are they have the ability to cover those funds. Also, I did check with the district DOT administrator for the area, Gary Schoenfelter, and he said they had no concerns with the bill. And I'll say lastly, this would be a bill that would do more than just recognize this family and the sacrifices they've made, but it would be kind of a nod to the community that we see our first responders, we see our emergency responders, we recognize you and appreciate what you do. When we dial 911, we expect that under the most adverse circumstances that they are going to show up and take care of us. So if you want me to recite any testimony that was given in transportation, I can do that. Otherwise, I'm hopeful we go straight to the House floor and I would have the applicants there. We could honor them and I could recite some of their testimony at that time. But if you have any questions, happy to answer those.
Very good. Members, any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative, for bringing this bill forward. I just wanted to note the importance of we do these memorials from time to time, but it's established MnDOT policy that the funds used come from private sources, whether the community fundraises for them, which is usually the way they're paid for. It's not a lot of money, but it is a standard policy that's very rarely ever has an exemption for, and then the length of the project or the memorial is also pretty limited. So that's an important policy things that we looked at when we saw this in transportation that I think is important for this committee to be aware of. Thank you.
I don't think there was a question there, but Rep. Jacobs, do you want to respond to that?
No, but I would like to say that 30 minutes and you're at the last bell. I wish I was up.
Clocks are ticking. Come on.
Mr. Chair,
31.
I don't think the testifier realizes how slow this meeting is going.
Well, I do sit on rules, and there's been a time or two where we've been done in less than a minute. So,
Chair Claiborne.
Thank you, Chair Frazier. And I just want to kind of level set. I just heard another member make a statement, which while I'm not going to I want to contest the statement that was just made. That's what I want to do. We have precedent in this body of the state actually paying for some of these memorials. I carried one last year where the state, in fact, paid for the memorial, and it was a bipartisan bill. So I just want to clarify that in some instances it has been done. Most generally, the family does pay for it, but there is precedent for memorials being paid for. Thank you.
Duly noted. Thank you, Chair Claiborne. Members, any further questions? Representative Jacob, close.
Thank you for hearing my bill. I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. With no further discussion, I will renew my motion that House File 3593 be recommended for placement on the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Motion passes. Members, I will give a quick preview that our business is done, but I'll give a quick preview for next week. We will have the gavel again. It will be a redo of the snow day that we had, so we will have an informational session. We will have Minnesotans come to testify about the impact of Metro Surge on their businesses in their communities, and we're looking forward to that conversation. With that, members, this meeting is adjourned.